It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 10th day of May, 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go. Also, if you ooh, I'm a little hot, mic-wise, nah, my ego's not out of control. But that's where you go. If you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza, is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. Of course, if you're listening live, and I certainly love it, I love hearing from people who listen live, that, and the podcast is there's more of an immediacy with live, and anyone who's ever performed live knows exactly what I'm talking about. But anyway, waiting for you over in the chat room right now are early arrivers, Squeaky and Irish Dave. Theo was just there for a minute, but he has errands to run, because after all, it is just a couple of minutes after 2 o'clock out in lovely Portlandia. But Irish Dave and Squeaky are there, and capably moderating everything is Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon, who has, I think, some sort of domestic repair work going on. Said, not on the desktop tonight. Painters are working. Door problems. Oh, no. Oh, the joys of homeownership. Yes. And, of course, if you are listening to the podcast, it is proving very helpful that you take the time to like and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on, Apple Podcasts, Podbean itself, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, for God's sakes, Spotify. We are just all over the place. But like and subscribe. Please leave a comment. That would be great. And well, tell your friends and neighbors. We're coming up on 20 years of this, and I hope we continue. But we're coming up on 20 years of this, and I would love to add voices to the conversation, really and truly. And if you listen on TuneIn Radio, there's a little heart button. If you click that, we're trying to get 1,000 distinct, unique listeners on the TuneIn platform, because people listen all over the place. Did I do the hi, I'm Robin part? Because hi, I'm Robin. And I think I've got the microphone in good trim now, at least I hope. Hey, Claire. Claire just jumped in from across the pond. Good evening, madam. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so as a consequence, we say thank you to our 10th day of the month subscribers. That means Thank you to Dan. Thank you, Dan, so very much. Thank you to Joe. Thank you for being our 10th day of the month subscribers via PayPal. And thank you to our pal Joy in Ann Arbor, who said, I especially loved the show last night. Thank you, Joy. 3-hour filler, Obster. I was a little tired when I got done. Yes, this being Wednesday and all, Brother Deacon Asa says, and then the Lord God said, let there be steam, and there was steam. And then the Lord God said, let there be recording, so there was recording. So I'm recording, Brother Deacon Asa's recording, I'm scheming, Brother Deacon Asa is scheming, steaming, streaming, packet passing, all of those things, and hopefully we've got 3 hours of engaging radio ahead of us here. Thanks to Joy, the fundraising goal stands at $955. We got 2 broadcast days left this week, but here's the reality. And I've been talking about it, and I'm not making it up. I am as serious as a daggum heart attack. This program probably won't be here tomorrow evening if we don't get fundraising up to where, yeah. I've been on the phone, I've been begging, I've been pleading, I've been explaining what the nature of the situation is here. And, they're coming to cut the power tomorrow. If they don't cut it tomorrow, they will cut it tomorrow. Appalachian Electric Power does not give a good goddamn about who's in a household, what will happen. They want their extortionate bill. And so the fundraising goal does, in fact, sit at $955. And what they want right now is $768 is what they want. Because in order not to freeze through the winter, we used space heaters, and we're still catching up, even though I pay $500 a month to them. It's never enough. You know, in a place like West Virginia, you can never give enough of yourself to the coal industry. And it's been that way for well over 125 years, even though people have given their very lives. There are people who are still underground who were buried in and burned up in explosions 125 years ago. Bodies never recovered because that's how coal rolls. So if we could knock out that goal this evening, if you're listening and you're able and you know the desperation of this situation, I've been writing about it on the podcast and everything, trying to make people aware. Please, please. I have not felt this stressed out about something in, I don't think I was this stressed out the night before surgery. This is bad. If you want to help out, go over to headon.live. There's also Venmo, Cash App, just about anything and everything to get the job done. Thank you in advance. I'll probably be mentioning that at some degree of increased frequency through the course of the program. I hate talking about it, but here we are. I do. I hate talking about it. But we have stuff to deal with, this being prayer meeting Wednesday and all. And it was a beautiful day here in the hills and hollers of almost level west by cold Manchinia stand. By the way, Joe Manchin, as chair of the Senate Natural Resources Committee, says that he, by God, will not vote to confirm anyone that President Joseph Robinette Biden nominates to run the EPA. Joe wants an end to the Environmental Protection Agency because, well, it gets in the way of his profits. Remember the first law of Manchin's. Manchin's never do anything that does not benefit someone named Manchin. So there we are. And, of course, that has grave implications going forward. But he's Joe Manchin. Is anyone surprised? Thank you, George and Coarse Gold. Thank you so much. We are now down to $905. $905 to go in fundraising, and I cannot thank you enough, George. It's so very kind of you. As to the sound quality, yes, Stephen, New York's is sounding great. Clearly, the new dispensopal arrived today. It did. And in fact, it was a perfect fit for our older model Knutton valve, and it flanged perfectly with the flageolet that we installed just last year. Hey, yeah. where to go? Let's see. I need to run down and check on something real quick here. I mean, not going away from the microphone. Let's see. It is prayer meeting Wednesday. And the little old blue-haired ladies and little old blue-haired men and little old non-binary blue-haired people down in the Fellowship Hall kitchen of the Cathedral of Common Sense, it being warm and all. Well, this evening they put out a lovely fruit plate, and they even, in honor of Marginal Trailer Queen, they made a big, beautiful pot of gazpacho and called the local constabulary over for a free cup, and thus we had the gazpacho police drop by the cathedral. Yeah. They liked it. They liked it real good. You know, little pieces of cucumber and little tiny chunks of chili pepper and rich, bright, tomato-y goodness and a little bit of lime juice and salt. And sopped it up with some warm tortillas. And yeah, they were proud of themselves because they don't usually do that kind of thing. And they even worked up some flan for dessert. You should have seen the look on the deacon's faces when they saw the flan with that wonderful caramel sauce over top. Far better to tell them it's flan than to try to explain to them creme brulee. Because they hear French and they lose their minds. What? But anyway, afterward they trundled their way up the couple of flights of stairs and went out into the parking lot and set to smoking with the sinners. And I was once a smoker, so I know how that is. I let them hotbox two or three. And I came to the door in my priestess robes and just sort of waved the horn solar-powered cattle prod at them. And they're well-trained now, and the deacons put wings to heel. And they came trundling past me, proving that bodies in motion tend to remain in motion. And trundled past me and past that bowl of desiccate and butter mints. And I can't keep them out of the hand sanitizer. So they did a couple of. I think they think that they're just portable. It's just a portable Jell-O shot dispenser. And they came down the center aisle. And they're standing right here. They got the heavy brass bound. Velvet-lined plates in hand, and they're prepared to move through the congregation. And so at this point in time, having had a couple of weeks of respite, I will call the Minister of Music up and ask her if they would please lead the congregation in the offertory hymn.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world, the fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome, 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 brethren and sistren and non-binary nibblings, to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I'm calling on you to get on your feet, get out of your seat, and wiggle and waggle and scrunch and screech and come on out from betwixt the pews and come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees, laying your hands upon the subwoofer to feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Owen Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized, Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximal Metropolitan, Naughty Nun, Aggravated Abbess, Robin Kincaid, and it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Where to begin? Well, we're not going to spend a lot of time on the religion industry today, but we got a couple. We definitely do, and oddly enough, this isn't creepy. This is actually someone being, well, maybe walking the walk for a change. A preacher by the name of Stephen Sanders is the lead pastor at Oak Hill United Methodist Church in Austin, Texas. And he's actually read some of the book instead of just banging on it. One of Pastor Sanders' best friends is a preacher in Nash Vegas, whose church is only 3 miles from where the shooting there took place. And Pastor Sanders really does believe in the power of tots and pears, okay? And he decided to talk a little bit about where he stands in regard to the bloodshed and the shooting gallery that Republican politics have turned Texas into. More on that in a minute. Stephen Sanders said you have to give time for people to grieve. We have to care for people in response to a tragedy, but my faith tradition says that faith without works is dead. If all we do is pray to feel good about ourselves, I think we have a very trivial faith. Ooh, they will. They are going to run him out of his congregation. Then, and this is more shocking, Robert Jeffress of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, which is a huge cult, said, we ought to pray as if it all depends on God, but we have to work as if it all depends on us. Now, this is somewhat surprising because Robert Jeffers is a great big old maggot. Nitwit, he's gone and rubbed shoulders and God alone knows what else with Nitwit Nero. And apparently these people want something done, and it'll be interesting to see if the Texas maggots tell them to go piss up a rope, because they're going to do what they want to do. You might recall that after the shooting in Allen, Texas, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, jumped onto Twitter and said, "Heidi and I are praying for the families of the victims. Whatever support is needed to do justice and help those in need." And we talked, of course, on Monday, I think, about Keith Self, the guy who said that, well, God acting through the agency of that Nazi Mauricio Garcia was the one who murdered and maimed 8 and 7 people, respectively, in Allen, Texas. At St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Elgin, Texas, their preacher is Sam Brannon. He said, "Thoughts and prayers are important and they work. If somebody goes through something tragic, having people reach out and encourage them, pray with them, hold them, and tell them how much they're loved, that's incredibly important. But if all we do is say we're sorry and we have the ability to change something to make tragedies happen less often, then we should probably be about doing that. Faith and action are two sides of the same coin. Mirabile dictu, wonders never cease." And in an extension of his remarks, this Lutheran preacher, Sam Brannon, said, "I'm in full support of people being..." This is Texas, after all. "I'm in full support of people being able to purchase and use firearms for a multitude of purposes, including personal safety. What I don't think is a great idea is for everyone to have access to all firearms under all circumstances and just hope that everybody's trained effectively." Trained. Ha! Well-regulated militia. Ha! No laughing matter. Then we got back to Steven Sanders, who said, "We are whole human beings. To try to bifurcate my life and have one part focused on policy and another part focused on spirituality is not really possible. But if you're using..." This is important, y'all. "If you're using thoughts and prayers as a way to escape addressing the underlying issues, then you're treating your faith in a trivial way." That might get you smoked. And even Robert Jeffress said, "There's nothing of importance we can do until we have prayed." Actually, there is. There's a lot. But at the same, but if this is what it takes to get them over the line and maybe help more 9-year-olds become 10-year-olds, get as spiritual as y'all want.
"But at the same time, we ought to enact common sense gun reform that doesn't violate the Second Amendment."
You know, there's a generation coming that may not even want the Second Amendment anymore, and I hope that's true. There's a generation coming that may take a look at the Second Amendment and go, "Son of a gun, that old lady back in 2023 was right. The word own in reference to guns, the word own at all does not appear in the Second Amendment. The hell?" Jefferson went on and said,
Paul said in his second epistle to Timothy, see, there's pistol in the Bible. He said, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. That doesn't mean bad things aren't going to happen, but it means God can work through the worst circumstances to accomplish his will."
Well, again, Keith Self said it was God's will.
said it was God's will for Mauricio Garcia to become a Nazi and an incel and slaughter people at an outlet mall. So, will it come to anything? I honestly don't know. And you know what? It may not matter. Because people who follow these issues, I am one of them, people who follow these issues are watching with, dare I say, bated breath. Hi, Micah. No, it's... this program's live. There is a case that will have a decision any time. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen a week from tomorrow. We don't know. We've talked about the case before on this program. National Association for Gun Rights versus City of Naperville. Naperville being a township in Illinois. Because Naperville, as a town, and the Illinois as a state, have passed assault weapons bans. And of course, a pasty-faced, doughy, white, aggrieved. Dude bro gun shop owner who thinks that his right to make a buck selling guns is more important than a 9-year-old's right to turn into a 10-year-old, he and some gun humper organization decided to sue Illinois and the city of Naperville. And Illinois and the city of Naperville say that their restrictions on the sale of semi-automatic assault rifles, including things like AR-15s and AK-47s and magazines with higher than 10-round capacities and higher than 15-round capacities for pistols, is a reasonable and sensible response to the slaughter in this country. But then again, we all know who's in charge of the Supreme Court of the United States, and I'm talking, of course, about our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties. If the court sides with the gun humpers, the people who love guns more than children, the people who aren't bothered by rivers of blood flowing over our entire country, then that decision could very well impact the entire country. That holding would become applicable to every state in the union, and thereby semi-automatic assault weapons and high-capacity magazines and high-capacity pistols would become the law of the land. And not a single state, not one single sane state, could do a damn thing about it. Not a damned thing. Which is troubling because in the case that controls virtually everything regarding firearms in this country now, and I'm talking about D.C. versus Heller, authored by Fat Dead Tony Scalia, a religious maniac, among other things, D.C. versus Heller says dangerous and unusual weapons may be banned by city and state governments, county governments. And the problem is it's another one of those evasions by our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties. Because then you have to do the lawyery thing and answer, well, what the hell does dangerous and unusual weapons mean? And we have an inkling of what it means. because, or at least what it will mean to our most puissant, dread, sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties. After Heller was issued, in 2011, a federal appeals court in D.C., the D.C. Circuit, held up the D.C. Circuit's assault weapons ban, but it was not a unanimous decision by the D.C. Circuit. There was someone there who objected. And that member of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals in 2011 was none other than Brett Kavanaugh, who at the time still had a mortgage and credit card debt and debt at the Nationals Park and beer debt and season tickets debt, and because he loves beer and he loves baseball and he loves little passed out teenage girls. Brett does. And so in his dissent in that case, Brett reasoned, and I use the term loosely, that there was nothing either dangerous or unusual about semi-automatic assault weapons, particularly semi-automatic rifles, neither more dangerous nor than lawful weapons like handguns, nor are they especially unusual as grounds for his attempt at logic. He said that the fact that it's not there, that these weapons are not unusual, is proven by the fact that there were about 2 million semi-automatic AR-15 rifles that have been manufactured. God, that number is so much higher now. So what he was in the minority for in 2011 may become the majority opinion in 2023. And moms and dads and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and aunts and uncles and cousins and will pay the butcher's bill for his holding. Of course, since then, it's worth noting that Brett, and particularly his dear, dear, dear friend on the court, I'm talking, of course, about Sammy Bad Breath, who had a conniption on the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, are squealing that Supreme Court justices' lives are being threatened with assassination. And they always cite Brett. A liberal came to assassinate Brett when his wife and children were right there in the house. Completely ignoring the fact, because Sammy Bad Breath is a dishonest person, that the guy never got anywhere near Brett's house, and that in fact he turned himself in, realizing that he did not want to commit that kind of mayhem. And so, while it's possible that the court may not grant an order out of this case immediately, but even if they do, the risk remains the same. That at some point in time, our most puissant, dread, sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties will make it harder for children to reach adulthood. We'll make it so that no matter how hardened schools and malls become, no one will ever feel safe again. And that is a horrifying and wearying prospect. Of course, if they turn the assault weapons loose all over the country, that'll overturn the one in D.C. too, and Probably would be in law of the land in Montgomery County, Maryland, too. I personally am nonviolent. I don't believe in settling one's differences with contests of arms. But then again, it's not like these things that are taking place all over this country are happening as a matter of dueling. It's all ambushes. Dude shows up with gun, dude begins shooting gun. People bleed, people die. Because we will never find a way, ever, and I'm not fond of the word never, but we will never find a way to, I don't know, pre-crime people like Mauricio Garcia. Dude was writing his fucking memoir over on that skeevy Russian site. And even now, you have a significant number of Republicans who are maggots, who are arguing for all they're worth that that's... They've learned well. A false flag. It's a false flag. And that the guy with the giant swastika tattooed on his left tit and the Schutzstaffel tattooed on his right bicep wasn't really a Nazi. And here's their reasoning. Because Hispanic people can't be white supremacists. But all in all, there's every chance in the world, I'd say the chance is greater than lesser, that, yeah, assault weapons bans will be struck down. And that leaves only one thing to do. No. I'm not talking about direct action or self-help, except to the extent that, as other people are saying, and some of them are even former Republicans, the only way to correct any of this is to never elect a Republican again. That maybe then we can have meaningful change. And so once again, the stakes of the 2024 election become crystal clear. We need enough Democrats in the House of Representatives to make a majority to put through a bill to increase the number of members of the Supreme Court of the United States to, I don't know, 15. Have it pass the Senate and be signed into law by re-elected President Joe Biden. That's about all there is right now. And that is a thin reed, I suppose. Oh, I have an announcement from a kind internet friend who says they are suffering from donor fatigue. I understand. I will provide a Have a Show on Me if the Horn community can scrounge up $150, but I really am suffering from donor fatigue. This is another two-for-one tripling challenge. So there it is. If we can raise $150 from among the Horn family community congregation as the deacons pass the plate, it's in the little, with the little Bluetooth PayPal buttons in the bottom, then our kind internet friend will make it a Have a Show on Me two-for-one tripling challenge, which will go a long way toward making sure there's a program here tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Thank you so much to Claire in the UK. Thank you. And thank you to Colin. And Colin sent a note and said, just dropped a 20 in the kitty to get that coal-fried power bill paid. Need to call in soon. Yes, you do. Never done that with you. I love the Horn community so much. The subject line was all my love and $20. But It's just so touching. Thank you, Colin. Thank you. And you are welcome to chime in anytime. So let's see. That is 20. Mm-hmm. So we have $105 to go on the matching the two-for-one tripling challenge, courtesy of our kind anonymous internet friend. There's $105 to go on that, and if that's met, let's see, what would that do? That would take us down. Well, it would take us down by $450 if I'm doing my ciphering right, and would get us from. That'd get us down to $455 and get us close to being able to make my coal-fried overlords somewhat satisfied for the time being. Yeah, Randy Radar asks, isn't that Proud Boy a Hispanic guy? Yeah, Enrique Tarrio? Yeah, he is. And as Flavio explained a few nights ago, being Hispanic does not imply that one cannot be white supremacist. Because Hispanic folks come in all sizes, shapes, and colors. And unfortunately, ideologies. -77 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studio at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion this evening. Perilously close to Naked Radio. Stop that, Robin. And so we are down from 105 to 55, thanks to Don in British Columbia. Thank you so much. And we can keep hammering away. Oh, thank you, Matt in San Francisco. I'll do $105. No one likes when they cut the power. No one does, especially in a house with two wee little ones. I walked into the living room today, and little Junie, she's in her little jumper bouncer thingamajig, and she put her arms up in the air and waved them at me and bounced and smiled as big as the day, and I waved my hands and bounced at her, and she laughed out loud, and it was pure magic, is what that was. So, the challenge is met. We are actually now down to 405. Thank you so much, Matt. We've got a fighting chance. Little miracles happen here all the time. Note from our buddy Jake in Columbus. The good guys won this one. Subject line, Texas Nazi scum sentenced. The good guys won this one unless Assbutt succeeds in pardoning this racist, nutsy Nazi creep. Unfortunately, he's already becoming another darling of the fanatic far-right fringe. Easy on the alliteration there, Jake. You're getting me tongue-tied. This is what we're talking about, who we're talking about, is Daniel Perry, who was looking at between 5 and 99 years in prison for the murder of 28-year-old Air Force veteran Garrett Foster at a Black Lives Matter rally in Austin, Texas. That was about 2 months after the cops murdered George Floyd back in 2020. Well, he got 25 years... in prison in Texas, in the Texas prison system today, this morning. Perry's lawyer said he will appeal the verdict because his pettifogger had asked for a sentence of nothing more than 10 years. He said he doesn't have a criminal history. He does have psychological issues, including complex post-traumatic stress disorder, and members of the military sent words of praise for him. On the other hand, however, there was a passel, complex legal term, passel. There was a passel of racist social media posts that he wrote prior to opening fire on a brother veteran, I might add. And the prosecution said even his own behavioral health experts said that he was a loaded gun ready to go off. He was affianced, by the way, to a woman of color. He was stationed at Fort Hood. The circumstances were that he ran a red light, drove his vehicle into a crowd gathered for the Black Lives Matter protest, and he was constitutionally carrying a what? Yes, an assault rifle. And he walked up to the victim's car and told and gestured for him to lower the window, and when he did, he pulled out a pistol and shot him with that. His legal team tried to claim self-defense. Yeah. Meanwhile, as Jake in Columbus pointed out, Greg Asbot has been making hateful grunting noises about pardoning this murderer. The victim was wheelchair bound and was at the Black Lives Matter protest with his black fiance. One wonders if there will be enough outrage to stop Greg Asbot from letting this guy walk. Asbot is not looking convinced.
Texas has one of the strongest stand-your-ground laws of self-defense that cannot be nullified by a jury or a progressive district attorney.
His Asbot's ability to pardon, however, is limited by the Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles. He can only pardon those who have been recommended for one by the aforesaid board. Meanwhile, the pettifogger for Perry, Clinton Broden, said,
in short, the event Sergeant Perry might ultimately receive a pardon, it would simply reflect the strong self-defense laws that exist in Texas and the political efforts of a rogue district attorney to curtail the rights of Texas citizens in an effort to appease the district attorney's own political supporters.
The aforementioned district attorney in Travis County is Jose Garza. And he said, at the end of the day, the defendant in this case went through a process and an outcome that was rooted in the facts and the law as it should be. I'm sorry, I got that backwards. Garrett Foster, his fiancée, was a woman of color. And he was there at the Black Lives Matter protest, being a decent human being. And even with the stream of racist social media posts, Greg Asbot is probably itching. And maybe using some political leverage to make sure that make sure that the Board of Pardons and Paroles issues the recommendation that he wants. Yeah, I know. I was talking about Junie and her bouncer, Matt in San Francisco, said, I wish they made those for grown-ups. I got to tell you, she looks like she's having a really good time. Might be a little cumbersome in a little house. Yeah, indeed, Ralph's. Woohoo! So, thank you to our kind internet anonymous friend. We have made substantial progress. Checking here. I got a note from Micah going back to Mauricio Garcia. RWDS patch. But I'm sure that was just a fucking coincidence, too. Not like the guy's screeds on his website or anything. Oh, wait. Yeah, there's that. Sorry, let me. I have too many devices with which I must consult. Okay, so we're very close. We've knocked out a big portion of the extortion demand from Appalachian Power. Thank you, everyone. Now, where else? What else? Well, since we've got the Second Amendment freedom file open here, might as well stay with at least until we, until we get to the top of the hour. I read this story and I thought about my childhood when, and it seemed like it happened mostly as the day was waning, light was lower. Everybody knew they'd have to go in sooner or later. It was a different time. Kids were kicked out of the house and don't come back. Lunch and dinner, you know. And we played outside. All over the neighborhood all day. And as the day waned, it was not unusual for a game of hide and seek to take shape. And I guess some things don't change. And yet, at the same time, they do. Enter David Doyle. Fifty-eight-year-old David Doyle. Told police that he saw shadows moving around his windows. And he went outside. Naturally, 58-year-old David Doyle down in Louisiana stand took his freedom protector with him. And he saw figures running away. This all happened in Starks, Louisiana, Stan, about 250 miles west of New Orleans. The police later found out that several juveniles were playing hide-and-seek in the area and were hiding on the neighbor's property.
Mr. Doyle stated he observed shadows outside his home, at which time he went inside and retrieved his firearm. He then advised detectives he went back outside and observed people running away from his property, at which time he began shooting at them and unknowingly hit the girl.
Because he shot a 14-year-old girl in the head. So let's see. Ringing the doorbell because you're lost. Turning around in a driveway. Having a basketball roll out into the street or into somebody's yard. And now playing hide and seek are all grounds for cranky old men to get out their guns and go try to waste somebody. Notice they were running away from him. No word on here about what maybe David Doyle might have said along the way. Oh, yeah. Cheerleaders getting in the wrong car. That'll get you shot, too. Then again, now it was in the case I'm about to mention, it was the cops, so maybe it's a slightly different circumstance. But back when he was on the, I believe, Second United States Circuit Court of Appeals, before he was elevated to be one of our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties, Sammy Bad Breath Alito wrote an opinion in which he said it was perfectly understandable and, in fact, legal for the cops to shoot a black kid in the back of the head who was running away from them and was no threat to them whatsoever. David Doyle was arrested and charged with aggravated assault and battery. He was literally shooting at shadows.
Because freedom! God-given right to shoot at anybody on your property, especially if they're running away and...
Oh, God. Now, he's 58 years old, so that means, what, he's born 1965-ish. And he sits down there in his house in Starks, Louisiana, and he is scared to damn death. But I'm pretty sure he's not scared to death of kids playing hide and seek. No, but what if his TV just stays tuned to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda? Or Newsmuck, or Real America News, or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. Now then there's a, well, if not a motive, at least a clue, right? Subject line, hide and seek, Jake says in, Jake in Ohio, Jake in Columbus says, if Louisiana has a stand your ground law, this awful gun owner will walk. Awful gun owner. And just a reminder, Mauricio Garcia, although it's damnably hard to get the multimillionaire for-profit media to mention it, was a lawful gun owner. They almost always are. Because you're more likely to be busted for being an unlawful fisherman in this country than you are to be busted for being an well, you get the idea. With a cowbell recommendation. Yes, Frank, you're right. A cowbell for our kind internet friend who did the 2-for-1 tripling coal-fried power challenge. Yes, indeed. Well done, Frank. Thank you for the suggestion. And so, trying to do the ciphering. Yeah. So we are down to $430 to go total. And very close to being able to say, yes, there will be a program tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you indeed to Women Standing. Oh, and again, from the Mirabile Dictu Will Wonders Never Cease department, I was talking about the preachers who are awakening to the fact that, well, Texas state government's letting their congregations be slaughtered. I mean, you can be a church member and still go to the mall and get shot. Lo and behold, according to the Texas Tribune, when the House Select Committee on Community Safety in the Texas Ledge advanced House Bill 2744 to prohibit selling, renting, leasing, or giving a semi-automatic rifle with a caliber greater than 22 that is capable of accepting a detachable magazine to a person younger than 21 years old. Yes, I realize the drafting is probably problematic. I don't know if the magazine is detachable from the person younger than 20. Well, never mind. Don't be. Well, that thing, as we've mentioned, passed out of committee on Monday. The Speaker of the Texas House still says it ain't going to pass. But yesterday, lo and behold, a Texas Republican, one Representative Frederick Frazier, got something right, probably for the first time in his life. Speaking to WFAA in Dallas, he said, you saw two Republicans come out yesterday, and you look on their social media, and they're just completely attacked, and you knew they were doing it from their heart. They're not doing it because they hate guns. I mean, we're gun wearers. Wearers? We're police officers. We're in the communities. Why would we want to go take guns away from citizens to protect themselves? We want citizens to be armed. We want citizens to protect themselves. But we also don't want maniacs that have pure evil in their heart to go out there and kill our families and everybody else's family. So that's a hard look we have to look at. And that's something right there has got to be pulled. But then he got, well, a little more straightforward.
You saw two Republicans come out yesterday, and you look on their social media, and they're just completely attacked. And you know they're doing it from their heart. They're not doing it because they hate guns. I mean, we're gun wearers. We're police officers. We're in the communities. Why would we want to take guns away from citizens to protect themselves? We want citizens to be armed. We want citizens to protect themselves. But we also don't want maniacs that have pure evil in their heart to go out there and kill our families and everyone else's family. So that's the hard look we have to look at. And that something right there has got to be pulled. If you don't feel that, then there's something wrong with you right now. If you saw those videos and you saw those bodies piled up and you saw what happened there, and that doesn't make you think we've got something wrong, then you have something wrong. And that's how most of us feel.
So you're willing to consider some measures?
I absolutely am. And we have to sit down and have these conversations.
Did he almost say, he said we're gun wearers and then he kind of hesitated. Was he about to say we're gun toters? I swear it sounded like he was about to say we're gun toters. It's just a little bit sad that this has to be such an extraordinary thing for someone to do. One gets the idea that the debate on Texas House Bill 2744 is going to be fierce. Oh, kind internet friend, you're more than welcome for the cowbell. I say, I needed it. Now, I've done my part. Keep on pushing the fundraising. Okay. Because we're down to 420. How about that? 420. Little miracles all over the place on this prayer meeting Wednesday. So, no hide and seek in Starks, Louisiana. where's the we got George San, George DeVolder, Anthony Santos, King Thutmose IV of the whatever dynasty of Egypt. We've got his indictment to talk about. That news came out yesterday. And now we know what he's been charged with. And it's a lot. So, basically, bogus receipt of unemployment benefits related to COVID. Just the beginning. And the guy's a crook, George Santos, Anthony DeVolder, whatever, is. Let's see, defrauding his donors, using donor money for his personal benefit, unemployment fraud, and, of course, he says he won't resign from office. He'd probably like to resign and run away to the furthest corner of the Himalayas, or the Alps, or the Peruvian Andes. But there's just one problem. Kevers McCarthy, the man of silly putty, the weaker speaker, can't afford it. He surrendered to the authorities this morning at the Alphonse M. D'Amato Federal Courthouse in Long Island. He was told to give up his passport, and he was released on $500,000 bond. Seven counts of wire fraud, three counts of money laundering, one count of theft of public funds, and two counts of lying to the House of Representatives on financial forms. He could do up to 20 years on the wire fraud count. That's the stiffest sentence of the lot. And dangling a bit of bait in front of the prosecutors, his pettifogger, a guy by the name of Joe Murray, said, we want to meet with prosecutors and share what we've learned and what we have. We have information that I think they would be interested to see. Shifting accents in mid-quote. So he's going to drop the dime on somebody? Well, what he did say in a press conference is, I will prove myself innocent. This is a witch hunt. Really? Yeah, a little dog whistle there for the audience of one. He said he was compliant throughout this entire process, but I have no desire not to comply at this point. Now I'm going to have to go and fight and defend myself. Over at CNN, they had their legal expert, Bernardo Villalona, come on to talk about what kind of advice she would give George DeVolder, Anthony Santos, King Kamehameha, Billie Jean King. Fairly sound advice.
Yeah, look, anything he says is fair game here, right? As he's saying this before the cameras, and one of the things that he was asked about was, you've lied so many times, and it's verifiable. Why do you expect people to believe you? He also dodged on that. He said, I expect to be judged by my work done in the body. I do want to bring in criminal defense attorney and former prosecutor Bernarda Villalona to talk with us as well. Let's talk about the biggest charges here, the potentially most perilous ones for George Santos, which are wire fraud, these seven counts of wire fraud, and the potential sentence that they could bring if he is found guilty, Bernarda.
Exactly. So when we're talking about wire fraud, the maximum sentence that he's facing is 20 years incarceration. That is a max, and that's for each count of wire fraud that can run consecutive. Of course, let's be clear, when it comes to federal sentences, unless it's a mandatory minimum, you can get anywhere from probation all up until the 20 years. But this and George Santos, he's facing a lot of time if he is convicted. So I'm not sure why would you speak to the public right after being arraigned, knowing that anything you say can be used against you. He hasn't learned his lesson.
But Bernarda, can I ask you, because, of course, in the news we cover a lot of charges and a lot of different circumstances, and not all charges lead to conviction. That's just simply a fact. If you were defending George Santos here, based on what you know, and of course you haven't seen all of the Department of Justice's evidence here, but if you were defending him, what would that defense be?
Well, the number one thing to do is tell him to shut up, shut your mouth, no interviews, because anything you say can be used against you. Shut up, Gayathe. Which language do I have to say that in? But it seems that we already got a heads up in terms of his defense attorney seems to not be able to control it. So I can actually foresee that this attorney may ask to be removed from his case. Aside from that is that he has to get all his ducks in a row when it comes to the feds and federal prosecution, especially in paper cases like this. Guess what? The investigation has been thorough. They have all the documents they need. When it comes to wire fraud and document cases, those are the easiest cases to prove, especially all they have to do when you're talking about collecting the unemployment benefits. Dude, were you getting money or not? Were you working? Did you have income? Did you file for unemployment and got those funds? That is easy. It's yes or no. This man needs to shut up.
It would seem pretty simple to prove in court if he's cashing these checks both from the federal government and from an employer. That's pretty black and white.
But look in the...
And along the way, of course, he barked and grunted and hooted and bleated and brayed about the Biden crime family. Oh, God. Hunter Biden. I wonder sometimes if our buddy Scott ever regrets having given us Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden. Because it's proven so useful. Other legal news today, the folks at Smartmatic have dropped a subpoena in relation to their $2.7 billion defamation lawsuit against Fox News TV Radio Rwanda on the Donald J. Trump presidential campaign, the 2020 campaign. That subpoena had been on file for about a month. It was only made public yesterday. They want from the Trump campaign documents related to Fox News and the bullshit allegations the campaign made about the 2020 elections. And in many ways, they're just following the playbook of Dominion voting systems in their recent smackdown of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Oh, but I mentioned the ongoing Biden crime family baloney. There was an article in Politico, more in Politico in a minute, Jesus. There was an article in Politico that pointed out that the House committee and the Oversight Committee Chair James Comer of Kentucky Stan are coming up, and it's no surprise to the rest of us, coming up empty. Politico writing, the Oversight Committee's chair's pivotal moment comes in the form of a long-planned press conference on his panel's investigation into President Joe Biden, his son Hunter, who's already facing a federal investigation, and other family members. Comer's move follows weeks of doubt, including from some within his own party, that the Kentucky Republican can back up his promises to find a smoking gun that would tie the president to the private affairs of his relatives. In a piece of understated writing, Politico said no such link has publicly emerged, and unless Comer's yet-to-be-released findings contain that hard proof, his maneuver is at serious risk of backfiring just as he's ramping up efforts to get more buy-in for his probe. Central to all of this hogwash is a memo coming out of Comer's committee saying that Hunter Biden and other members of the Biden crime family took money from foreign entities in Romania and China. The thing is, the committee does not suggest any illegality about the payments from foreign sources. And the bank records don't indicate the purpose of the payments that were made. Jim Comer, may I call you Jim? Maybe I'll just call you Dickhead. Could I refer you to the copious, dare I say, vast number of proprietary patents received by one Ivanka, my daddy, Trump Kushner in China? And I think that's what a lot of this is about. Deflection. Anything a Republican does, especially a maggot, is deflection, projection, or confession. The Politico article says the latest report does not show any payments made directly to Joe Biden, either as vice president or after leaving office, because it's not there. And then there's this case of, come on, let's you and him fight. Freshman senator from Ohio, Jerk Deluxe Vance, has decided to take a swing at Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. I mean, not a real swing. Neither one of those have enough manliness about them to do that. But they're at odds because Jerk Deluxe voted for a bill to pass the Railway Safety Act in the Senate Commerce Committee. And Jerk Deluxe said, speaking to the War Room, and of course, that would be the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells. Well, let's just go to him. It's hilarious. They've got him fonted on the screen. They're talking about the East Palestine, Ohio derailment disaster, brought to you by the Trump administration. But the font underneath J.D. Vance says, Kansas City considers becoming sanctuary city for transgender treatments. The fact that that's under J.D. Vance is a little hilarious.
Norfolk Southern set off a chemical bomb in East Palestine. You yourself visited. We are dealing with the health consequences and will be for a generation in East Palestine.
Yeah,
our bill is very simple. It says, you know what? If these railroads are going to destroy our communities and force the taxpayers and the people on the ground to bear these costs, the railroads have got to do more. They got to pay bigger fines. And this, to me, fits in. It's an important populist issue, Steve, because the question presented here is, do we serve our own voters or we desert do we serve industry? Do we listen to the corporate lobbyists, or do we listen to the people who sent us here in the first place? And this is another example of, yeah, a lot of new generation of Republicans and certainly our voters are looking at the railways and saying, you better pay up. But there are a lot of establishment Republicans. I hate to say it. Even Ted Cruz has come out and defended the railroad lobby in the wake of this legislation. It's ridiculous to me. You hear this phrase, Steve, you hear this slogan, go woke, go broke. Right. If the railroad industry has gone woke, and it has, if it's setting off chemical bombs right. in our communities, and it has, isn't it the job of the servants of the people to make them pay up a little? That's all this is about. It's plain and simple.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The derailment was caused by wokeness. Yeah, well, one of the train wheels probably got bound up with the conductor's petticoats or something. Petticoat Junction was a show, right? Right? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Little hotel called the Shady Rest? Go woke, go broke. Oh, the people of Ohio. Could have had Tim Ryan. Instead you get Jerk Deluxe. But I don't know. Maybe Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz can respond by bullying JD and calling him, I don't know, bisexual or something until he tries to commit suicide. I hope Cruz's daughter's okay. Also in the Congress, Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, the Clanny Granny, has co-sponsored H.R. 1095. She did so alongside who? That's right, George Anthony DeVolder Santos. And yes, Randy Radar, there is. There's another George Santos kind of guy in Congress. He's a freshman, I think, from the greater Nash Vegas area. He collected money to make a cemetery for dead fetuses or something. And people began noticing that after the slaughter at Covenant Christian School. Well, here's what H.R. 1095 does. H.R. 1095 is a very short bill. But one guesses that DeVolder Santos and Clanny Granny Boebert were probably well paid for it. Because the bill reads in full, an AR-15 style rifle chambered in a 223 Remington round or a 5.56 by 45 millimeter NATO round is hereby declared to be the national gun of the new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe under God. I added the last part. A less than thrilled constituent of Clanny Granny, a guy by the name of Andy Wiesner, wrote in to the Denver Post and said it was introduced on February 17th. Points out that one of her co-sponsors is George Santos, a congressman who faked virtually every aspect of his life. Andy Wiesner says, is this a cruel joke? The AR-15 assault rifle Boebert wants to make our national gun as a weapon of war. Its bullets are designed to tear human flesh to pieces by yawing, tumbling, or fragmenting in the body, thereby causing maximum internal bleeding and tissue damage. I'm a Vietnam War vet, Wiesner continues, and the M-16s we carried there were an offshoot of the AR-15. The Army always told us it was the best rifle in the world because of how efficiently it killed the enemy. Recently, the AR-15 has been used in mass shootings in Texas and many other places. As we see almost nightly on TV, it has shredded the bodies of innumerable men, women, school children, even babies. These innocent victims are not the enemy. Congresswoman Boebert and our peace-loving nation does not need a national gun. And how about a cowbell for Andy Wiesner? Perhaps there's some momentum building so that she will not be back in January of 2025. She is a sick creature. And then there's the man who is vying for the role, for the title of stupidest human being in the Senate of the United States. I'm talking, of course, about Tommy the Tuber of Talibama. Who, alongside Marsha 3X Blackburn, and Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, he works in the lumber mill there, are leading contenders. But I'd say Tommy the Tuber took a step forward. He broke out into at least a little bit of a lead, if nothing but for the time being, with his remarks earlier this week about white nationalists, otherwise known as white supremacists, otherwise known as Nazis, in the United States military, because President Biden is trying to get rid of right-wing extremists in the U.S. military, and maggots being maggots, they'll complain that this is somehow woking the military. During a call in to a national public radio affiliate in Birmingham, Alabama, WBHM, Tommy the Tuber, who likes to talk a lot about the military, never having served, said with a straight face, because he's never been caught, said with a straight face to WBHM, "We are losing the military, we are losing in the military so fast." Losing in the military. "Our readiness in terms of recruitment. And why? I'll tell you why. Because the Democrats are attacking our military, saying we need to get out the white extremists, the white nationalists, people that don't believe in our agenda as Joe Biden's agenda. They're destroying it. This year we will not reach any recruiting goals in the military. So if we want to talk about looking weak, that's where we're going to look weak. We cannot stop putting rules in there for one type, one group, and make different factions in the military, because that is the most important institution in the new United States of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, forever in the universe under God. And our allies is a strong, hard-nosed killing machine, which is called our military." So, that, I mean, that's the quote. That's what it is. He said that we can't get rid of Nazis in the United States military because that would be singling them out.
And it'd make us look weak if we got rid of all our Nazis and all our Klansmen in the military. Mercy sakes. My stars and garters.
Well, that's when his press creeps had to step in and clean up his mess. The spokes creep issued a statement saying, Senator Tuberville's quote that is cited shows that he was being skeptical of the notion that they are white nationalists in the military. Not that he believes they should be in the military. So in other words, the very word, Tommy Tuberville did not say what everybody heard him say. He said something entirely different. Of course we don't want any white supremacists or Klansmen or Nazis or white nationalists or Christian nationalists in the military as long as anybody knows about them. He believes the men and women in uniform are patriots. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin seems to think otherwise, subjecting them to extremism training as his very first act in office. That cost us 4 million man hours. This is all the result of the fact that the Pentagon said, and this was a couple of months ago, say, yeah, we got a white nationalist and extremist problem in the ranks. And we're going to have some stand downs and pause regular activity to deal with it. And the Secretary of Defense, to his credit, said, we're going to remove the racists and extremists from the military. All of this in part because, yeah, it's a fact that there was active duty military involved in the terrorist attack on the Capitol on January the 6th, 2021. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby said, we don't know how we're going to be able to get after this in a meaningful, productive, tangible way, and that's why he had this meeting today, and that's why he certainly ordered this stand down. That's a little not inspiring. Agreed? We got a Nazi problem in the United States military, and we don't know what we're going to do about it. Huh? That's worrisome. Badly. But I guess there's a certain honesty to it. How do you find out in a military the size of the United States? How do you find out who the Nazis are? Damn, didn't we have a problem doing that with the German variety? Had no small number of Nazis popping into the United States. Remember John Demjanjuk? Running around Argentina and Chile? Boys from Brazil? But, well, Tommy the Tuba, he coached him some football once upon a time, so he sure knows about it. He knows lots about the new 90 states military. Of course, this is the same Tommy the Tuber who, back in 2022, said of the Democrats that they just want to give reparations to the blacks because they think the people who do crime are owed that. They are not soft on crime. They are pro-crime. They want crime. They want crime because they want to take over what you got. They want to control what you have. They want reparations because they think the people that do the crime are owed that. That was in Nevada. And I love this passage of the story from USA Today. Before he was elected to Congress in 2022, Tuberville coached football for over a decade at Auburn University, among other universities. He certainly is. He's what you would expect. Of a senator from Alabama. But he's not done, Tommy the Tuber. Oh, no. No, no. Because he was also asked about the verdict against Nitwit Nero yesterday. By the way, a little bit of detail on that and the trigger warning in advance, seriously. Just figuring it. So there is an element of truth to the fact that the reason that the jury chose sexual abuse over rape is because E. Jean Carroll didn't know if it was his finger or his wee little penis, his wee little wee-wee. And it's because he had her pressed up against a wall with her face to the wall and was assaulting her from behind. Well, Tommy the Tuber was not at all fazed by the verdict against Nitwit Nero. And it didn't play well on My Filthy Morning Habit.
Witch hunt, this is a jury. That's right.
Of your peers.
Jury of your peers. Of course, you're a billionaire who can afford the best lawyers on the planet. So actually, it's not really of your peers. You actually had a better shot if there was any way you weren't liable for this.
Lawyers and
you would
chose
have
them.
Figured out how to get out of this thing, but you didn't. So what do? You lie over and over and over again. And in the process, this is a crazy thing. You actually, you remember, you apologized for Access Hollywood. You actually connect Access Hollywood in 2016 to 2023. By saying, yeah, that's what people like me have been doing for a million years, and maybe it's bad, maybe it's not bad. That's what you said.
Or unfortunately.
Fortunately, you said fortunately. What part of fortunately? I got to say, because I just saw a tweet by Pete Wehner, who, of course, worked in the Bush White House. And you look at what all these Republicans are saying, and Pete Wehner, he talks about what actually Tommy Tuberville says, and unfortunately, here we go. It worked, yeah. I don't know what Bill Murray was carrying, and my internet doesn't work. Tommy Tuberville says the New York verdict, where a jury of six men and three women found Donald Trump liable for sexual abuse, Tommy Tuberville says this makes him makes me want to vote for him twice. A sexual abuser makes Tommy Tuberville want to vote for the sexual abuser twice. And as Pete Wehner said, this comment by Tommy Tuberville, who describes himself as, quote, a man of Christian faith, is disturbing even by the standards of this morally depraved era. Can you imagine, Willie? I know you can't, so it's really more of a rhetorical question. Pre-Trump, anybody saying that a jury of six men and three women finding someone guilty of sexual abuse, sexually abusing a woman, would make them want to vote for that person twice. How depraved. There's just not another word for it. How depraved.
It is depraved, and he's not alone. Senator Marco Rubio said, quote, the jury is a joke, talking about this case. We played that sound a little bit earlier from Congressman Byron Donalds, who, when asked about this judgment by a jury of peers, said, don't say that stuff to me. That definitely doesn't work for me. A jury of your peers doesn't work for me, said a United States congressman. So this is, it's hard to find new territory among Republicans and Trump, but this does feel like chipping away at a different bit of the foundation of the things that we built the country on, which is that we respect a jury of our peers. And the implication there from Tommy Tuberville is it was a New York jury. You know, it was those libs up in New York. Of course, they went after him, suggesting that a jury taken from a cross section of New York City couldn't come to a fair judgment. I wonder what he'll say if there's a charge in the state of Georgia. It's a red state, but he'd probably say, well, it's Atlanta. You know, that's where all the liberals live. So this is the way they're proceeding here. Just go along with the argument from Donald Trump. Go along for the ride that this is all one big witch hunt. Let's dig into.
Don't smarten up the chump, Willie. That is exactly. Well, it's Atlanta, and Atlanta will be, you know, that'll be dog whistle code. But they're right. This is okay. Yeah, I mean, depraved, reprehensible, that would be another word. But it's almost like they sound shocked. Maybe no one dug up the story from 2022 for Joe and Mika about how he said that, you know, Democrats are pro-crime because that's why they want reparations for them people. Clarence in South Carolina, subject line, Alabama senator. I wonder what kind of relationship he had with the black players on the Auburn football team. I think wonder. Now, there probably when he was running, I seem to recall something that a couple of his black players went, yeah, I love Coach Tuberville. Yeah. But God, Alabamians must be so proud. Steve in New York. Well, hell's fucking bells. Joe is capital W woke. Well, the light can go on even for a simple country lawyer like Joe, you know? I know, Ralph's running. Oh, Donnie's tiny. Wee wee. And while we're at it, because this is a. It's a West Virginia thing. It's one of those moments where, you know, this is kind of my cross to bear. Disgusting. Our beloved basketball coach at West Virginia University is a guy named Bob Huggins. Huggins is an alum. He played basketball at West Virginia University. He is much beloved throughout the state. After a brief stint at, I think, Kansas State, Huggins came to WVU after a tumultuous time and a quite successful one at the University of Cincinnati as the head coach of the Bearcats. And if you do not listen to sports talk radio, you may not be aware that it can be every bit of a sewer as any right-wing talk radio. And, of course, there's a 50,000-watt clear channel AM radio blowtorch in Cincinnati, News Radio 700 WLW. In fact, I worked for a time with the guy who was the booth announcer. God, he had a beautiful voice. He was the booth announcer at WLW. And he was, I've mentioned it before, he was part of the composite upon which Les Nessman at WKRP was based on. I knew both of the composite guys. Congratulations on that proud pig, Les. It's the silver sow, Johnny. Right you are, Les. But anyway, WLW is a long and storied station. I'm going to hate myself for this. Thank you, Ralphs, for sending this along complete with the audio. The conversation was actually about who might or might not transfer to WVU, because there are still people who love Bob Huggins in Cincinnati and didn't want to see him go. The program in question was the Bill Cunningham Show. And they had Huggins on, like I said, to talk about the transfer portal. And then the wheels came off. Trigger warning. There is a vulgar slur in here about gay people. There's a dismissive remark about trans people. And just because he was going for the trifecta, there's a little bit of anti-Catholic bias here, too. Roll the audio, Robin.
Hello.
Coach Bob Huggins, you're on the air. I'm sitting here with Steve Mueller in the segment.
What would make you think I wanted to talk to you?
Hey, Coach. Now, we're telling Huggins stories, but we had a cut at which you kind of took a little shot at me as not being a trustworthy person. Would you want to revise and extend those remarks?
Absolutely not.
Hey, Hubs, I told him they thought it was misunderstood, taken out of context.
It was out of context.
I don't know. It must have been my thoughts at the time.
Now, Steve also tells me that you have the best portal transfers. Have you poached any Xavier guys to come to play for West Virginia?
Catholics don't do that.
No, we're above the fracas, aren't we? No problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I tell you what, any school that can throw rubber penises on the floor and then say they didn't do it, my God, they can get away with anything.
Rubber penis. Was this
that was at the Crosstown Shootout, wasn't it?
It was transgender night, wasn't it?
What?
Was that it?
It was a Crosstown Shootout. Yeah, no, what it was all those fags, those Catholic fags, I think.
All right.
They were envious they didn't have one.
Well, Steve, your comments about Bob Huggins, is he the best?
He's the best.
The best ever. Is he the best assistant coach you ever had?
Who?
Steve Mueller.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, anybody who can rent two rooms, get a chair, put a pizza in between the two rooms so that he can talk to Herb Jones for 2 days, he's the best.
Jesus. Steve in New York with some cultural context here notes. Bill Cunningham is a big dick, too. Somehow I got that idea. I wonder if they still read that statement about placing letters of complaint in the FCC file of the radio station. Our buddy Scott in San Diego has referred to that on more than one occasion. You know, listening to this again, it gets even worse because it's the laughing and the chuckling. It's no excuse, but Huggins has been more than a little bit intoxicated. I wondered if he was day drinking. You know, season's over. You know, start the day with a... I don't know, a pint of old panther piss or something. But that is, it's inexcusable. To be fair, it would not have been inexcusable 30 years ago, maybe. I'd like to think it would have been, but back when he was playing ball at WVU, though, the things like that probably got tossed around without a thought. God, that's disgusting. They're throwing rubber penises on the floor because they're jealous they don't have one. Now, suffice to say that there's been a bit of a firestorm here in West Virginia over this. Because although up the holler, they may be quite surprised, there are members of the LGBTQ community all over West Virginia. And in fact, at West Virginia University, you know, Harvard on the Mon, my alma mater. So naturally, this and just so we all understand exactly the lay of the land here, Bob Huggins is the single highest paid official. He's the single highest paid state employee in West Virginia. He issued the obligatory statement. Earlier today on a Cincinnati radio program, I was asked about the rivalry between my former employer, the University of Cincinnati, and its crosstown rival, Xavier University. During the conversation, I used a completely insensitive and abhorrent phrase that there is simply no excuse for, and I won't try to make one here. I deeply apologize to the individuals I have offended, as well as to the Xavier University community, the University of Cincinnati, and West Virginia University. As I have shared with my players over my 40 years of coaching, there are consequences for our words and actions, and I will fully accept any coming my way. I'm ashamed and embarrassed and heartbroken for those I have hurt. I must do better, and I will. The question becomes one of sincerity. One cannot help but think that if this was some, the head basketball coach at Holler Polytechnic in Fraser's Bottom, West Virginia, dude would be out of a job. But, well, Coach Huggs, he's character is what he is. He's character. And you know, that's just how he is. That's just locker room talk. You know, the same excuse that was given to Nitwit Nero. And yeah, Steve, you're right. Steve in New York says, Huggins, let's go back 50 to 75 years and substitute the F word for the N word. Bigot's gonna bigot. That's so gross. Just so gross. And even in West Virginia, in 2023, one dares hope that the single highest paid employee of the state of West Virginia would know better than to do that. I mean, he knows this shit streams, right? It wasn't like it wasn't going to be heard in West Virginia. He didn't just hurt members of the LGBTQ community, and he didn't just slur Roman Catholics. All those people have families who love them. Who are every bit as hurt as well. Translation of Huggins' apology. Steve says, blah, 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 blah. Oh, shit. I'm sorry I done got caught. One individual tweeting, they got ChatGPT running Bob's Twitter. Thuggins is obviously still passed out behind the wheel somewhere after his afternoon bender, completely oblivious to any of this commotion. We'll need briefed in the morning on his statement. Another observing, he said it so casually, you know he says it all the time and drops a statement and all will be okay. And then someone put the apology into Zero GPT. Your text is most likely AI GPT generated. I must and will do better. Well, there have been consequences. Oh, yes, there have. Oh, no, he has not been fired. But he's going to be suspended from something. he met with the president of the university, E. Gordon Gee, and today was expected to sign a decision that cuts his salary from, this is going to hurt, $4.2 million to $3.2 million, and that there will be a suspension of some duration, and there will be sensitivity training. Hey, let's see, Huggins is 69 years old. He probably, yeah, it probably didn't even occur to him. Oh shit, he's 9 years older than me. Meanwhile, the West Virginia Athletic Department said that his comments, quote, were, and I hate this. I hate weasel words.
They were insensitive, offensive, and do not represent our university values. Coach Huggins has since apologized. West Virginia University does not condone the use of such language and takes such actions very seriously. The situation is under review and will be addressed by the university and its athletics department.
Well, I guess they've addressed it. $1 million ought to count for something. Sensitivity training. Stephen, New York, you are such a cynic. Sensitivity training, in other words, nap time. And our buddy David in South Carolina stands says, the only thing missing from apology is out of context claim. Kind of hard to make that argument. That was just a whole bunch of context. There wasn't nothing there but context. Yes, that is the same E. Gordon Gee, Jake. Gee used to preside over the Ohio State University, if I'm not mistaken. You're correct. And before that, I think he was at Colorado. And before that, well, I've got his autograph on two different documents. That's where he started his university president and career. Good, says Ralphs. It should have been more. Yeah, he probably should have been let go. But that would have created a firestorm, the howling and crying from which could have been heard at Leon Scum's beach house on Mars. That's a fact. So, just to give you an idea, that's the world I live in. I know people who were quite good at hoops. They're gay. Live here. I'll have to check in and see what they think of that, and bet it ain't going to be pretty. Well, lo and behold, thanks for Jake is serving as the ad hoc E. Gordon Gee volunteer research horn research department this evening. Gee stepped down from the Ohio State presidency on July 1st, 2013. In response to a series of controversies relating to comments he made, the last of which involved anti-Catholic comments allegedly made in jest about the University of Notre Dame. He then headed an Ohio State-based think tank before returning to West Virginia University. Going home. So maybe Huggs, knowing that, maybe he thought he could get away with a dig at Xavier. Irish Dave, if anyone was offended and shit. Actually, he said, to the people I offended and I apologize, which is better than the usual Republican non-apology apology. Well, here we are at the beginning of the third hour of the program. Our desperate run to answer the extortion demands of Appalachian Power continues for the next hour. And hopefully we will have a program tomorrow. Fundraising goal remains at $420. We kind of tapered off there. If it could continue, if there could be a prayer meeting Wednesday miracle, we would know there will be a program tomorrow. Would that it were not so. Meanwhile, let's run over to the stress line and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Robin, it's Arnold.
Arnold, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I could not resist telling a story because of the sports radio thing.
Okay, so back me up on this. Sports radio is a right-wing sewer, too.
Oh, absolutely, and it's been that way for a very long time. In fact, I've seen a bunch of farmers in this region have it on in barns and stuff, and when you ask them, like, if they realize that it's politically slanted, they'll tell you, no, it's sports radio. And then you listen for a few minutes and you start to describe, you know, what you're actually interacting with, and they don't want to hear it. And so it's sort of sad, but it's the way it is. So 2011, I began to volunteer, which then became a job, for a dysfunctional progressive community radio station. And
that
I wanted to be the program
nameless.
Director.
That shall remain nameless.
It shall remain nameless. Yeah. Anybody who knows me knows what it is. Anyway, dysfunctional gives it away. So anyway, they make me the program director, which was fabulous. And one of my first things was getting a bunch of live local programming because everything was pre-roll and, you know, we were trying to bring people from the community on. And so I get this kid, a bunch of people tell me he's a local bartender, got to give him a sports show. And I'm like, we're a progressive community radio station. We have diversity. We have varieties of programs on economy and ethnicity and sex and all kinds of stuff. We don't need sports, right? No, it's going to be great. So I give him an hour on a Saturday, and we're going to try to have a sports show. So I'm engineering for him. I'm sitting in the room with him, and he comes on, and, you know, it's all that, you know, it's the stuff that you typically hear on sports radio. And then, and this is the part that will start to get funny and kind of terrible at the same time, he starts calling people, like, fat. And he starts using racial slurs. And meanwhile, we're live on a community radio station that's trying
and
to
no
build
And no seven-second
right?
delay within miles.
Oh, nothing. So I'm just sitting there, like, for the 29 minutes to be over. So, and he's, like, saying all kinds of hate and bad stuff. And he's trying to be like every other right-wing sportscaster you've ever heard and doing a bad job of it. So we wrap the show. I put something else on after him. I make sure the mics are off. And I said, are you a fucking Republican? And he goes, that's none of your business. But yes. I said, get the fuck out and never come back. Ever. I don't want to hear your name. I don't want to see your face. Get out. Don't come back. And that's my funny right-wing radio, sports radio story. And I don't understand what people, why they think they have the authority to come in and speak hatred. It's sports. It's supposed to be team building and camaraderie and who did better and who did worse and why they did better and why they did worse. And it's not supposed to be political. It's not supposed to be a beacon for hatred. And it's certainly been the last 20 plus years that I've heard sports radio. And you know, I'm sure you know Dave Zirin, who writes on this subject and, you know, the politics of sports. And this shit is no accident. It's no accident. It's meant to keep us crazy and confused about data that doesn't matter. And for anybody who's a sports fan listening, I'm truly sorry, but it's always sort of been lost on me anyway. But I like listening to people who know games, whatever, football, basketball, baseball, whatever, and they talk data and they talk players and they talk stories. And that stuff's fun because it's absent of politics. It's absent of race or gender or sexuality. It doesn't, none of it has any relevance. It's simply sport. But then when you listen to the commercial guys and girls, it's all about destruction and sexism. And it's all that, it's literally all there. All there all the time. I'm glad you got to throw them out, Robin.
I mean, presumably because it sells, right? I mean,
I mean, it's like the classic thing, you know, dick and fart jokes. I mean, it's the lowest common denominator. It's what works. It doesn't make it right, you know.
No.
I always break Rick's chops. I always make Rick, feel bad. I'm like, we should become right wingers, man, you know.
It's a hell of a lot better payday.
You know, none of us can. Well, yeah. I mean, he's doing a studio expansion all out of pocket. No sponsorship, for example. I mean, it's just, you know, when you're on, and you know this better than anybody as we're running out of power, there's no money on this side. It's the listeners. It's a handful of other things, but it's mostly listeners.
It's what the late, what was it, Big Ed, referred to as bake sale radio.
Yeah, yeah, so true.
I mean, I guess there are some of us who have turned it into a decent paying gig over on YouTube and whatnot. But the thing is, when you do that, you are forever at their mercy.
Oh, and you can't curse. There's a whole bunch of things. You know, we all don't have to curse, I guess, but YouTube has become very much about policing, and they well should. There was a lot of right wing stuff on there that was pretty awful, and gun stuff, and all, I mean, anything. You could look up anything on YouTube. But yes, there's some people making some decent coin, but you're in a bubble. Once you find a niche there that pays, you really can't change what you do, and then you're also married to the content. Get very used to what you're producing. And then if you have a slow day or a slow week or whatever, the audience goes away. There are people, though, making some serious point on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And the thing, well, I was never fond of the idea of doing video in the first place, pre-transition. I feel better about my appearance now. But having to sit here and do wardrobe and makeup every evening is a pain in the ass. And and B, I think it takes away from the content itself. You know this program, Arnold,
you know, like,
well enough to know that it's not one F-bomb over the other, but you know what? That word is a word in the arsenal of effective communication.
Absolutely. And it's like that old song riff thing that it's a magical word, you know.
Yes.
Loudly, but it really is. It's expressive. It can be used softly. It can be used aggressively. Sometimes it needs to be spoken. The same thing with like words like it sounds so silly, but like shit. I mean, it slips out sometimes. Maybe you use it for emphasis on something or to show, you know, displeasure or, oh shit. You know, it shouldn't be, if we're not on FM, work it. That's the whole idea of free form. That's the whole idea of what?
Yeah, work it. Absolutely. That just tickled me when you said work it. I look behind me to see I look behind me to see if there was a poll.
I tell you, speaking of YouTube, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that, you know.
Everybody's doing the poll thing.
Oh, Lord, yeah. It's an exercise form now.
Oh, yeah. I recently, there's a local person up here who I was, I don't know how, became Facebook friends with, but I recently had to unfollow because they do pole dancing fitness, which I didn't know was a thing, but apparently it's now a thing. And it was too much. It was too much.
Well, I'd break a hip or dislocate a knee or, you know, do something horrible to my neck. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think maybe that would happen, but I think it is, it's one of those things, you know, it's sort of cool. Like, I would even like, because the pole, I was always amazed by people that could spin around. And then I found that the pole turns. So really, you're just hanging off. You're just hanging off this piece of steel.
And enjoying, kind of easy, and enjoying the benefits of centrifugal force.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, how are you otherwise, Arnold?
Funny.
You doing okay?
I'm doing great. Yeah, no, life's good. Things are great. Kids great. Yeah, no, everything's pretty cool. You know, I had the call about the sports radio. It's true. It's real bad. I think you could get rid of most of it and, nobody would miss it. But,
I just don't know why it has to be, I don't know why it has to be right wing. Is it because demographically they know who their audience are?
And I'm curious.
I mean, Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann were at the top of their game, and they were never right wing assholes.
Yeah. No, and the thing is, though, anybody that's any good who's not a right winger doesn't last anywhere.
You're not wrong.
You know, you mentioned Ed. You know, Ed's dead. Let's not be fucking. You know, like, let's not. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. Oh, God. But you know what I mean. Like, it's the same thing with parts and vehicles. If they're any good, they get discontinued. Didn't mean to go there.
Well,
but I mean,
no,
that's
no,
where
no,
we're at.
No, but that's fine. I was gonna mention in the context of, you know, the sports talk and everything, Haley in Arkansas just reminded me a couple of minutes ago, remember, WLW Cincinnati is owned by iHeartRadio, formerly known as Clear Channel. So that speaks volumes about what they're going to have on their air.
Yeah, and I think what's funny about that name, years ago, I had started to hear the same announcer voices all over the country. This is before everybody knew this was what was happening. And I would hear these voices in the car, and I would be like, that's the same announcer as, you know, wherever we were. And then, you know, all that stuff started to really, you know, I figured it was one service or something. And then I started to look into the tech of it, and I realized what was being done and how many stations don't actually have, like, real people in them most of the time. And just real, real terrible. Everybody who thinks the real radio. Even serious, where they try to have that, you know, the illusion of a DJ. Those people are in a studio. That they're most of them are home doing stuff they record. It's crazy to me. With all the tech that we have less people doing radio. There are more people doing radio.
Well, there are people doing it. The question is, are they radio people?
Well, that's the other thing, right? I mean, that's what, going back to the right wing thing, going back to the politics part of it. You know, if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, it's you know, it's also bad. You know, if you're only there for money, you know, I think I've told you this before. I always tell anybody who will listen. I met a Fox employee one time. And, we were on the same podium and, you know, we were recording. And I said, listen, do you guys know assholes? And he's like over 70% of the people at Fox know it's BS, and we're just there for the money.
Because the pay is good.
I said, Are you sure it's that high? And he goes, absolutely, it's probably higher. And that made me feel good. I mean, kind of bad that people would sell themselves out for money, but good in the sense that, you know, that bunch of nonsense isn't really being run entirely by people that even believe in that shit.
It's a carnival barker act, okay? The whole network is just a carnival barker. And they're playing to the rubes. They're playing to the marks. You've actually got a better chance at running into something that's legitimate on a carnival midway than you do turning on Fox News.
Well, and an interesting thing about that is all you really have to do is watch the advertisements and understand what their real programming is. And I mean that, like, I used to watch it at my aunt's house all the time, and it was all like, you know, buy gold and, you know, this food you can live on forever and, you know, different ways of getting, you know, your stuff to work again. And
it's not,
you
know, high, all this it's, type it's, yeah, stuff. It's not high dollar advertising.
No.
They're not actually making their money from advertising. They're making their money from their stock. They're making the money from people investing
really
in them. But, you know, the fact of the matter was they had to disclose to the court in the Dominion case that, yeah, they had $4 billion in the petty billions drawer.
Man,
and by the time the Smartmatic case comes around, they'll have $5 billion in the petty billions drawer.
Really, they're going to have more money before they play out again?
Fuck yes. They'll have oodles of it, and the fact that they get to write it all off, or not all of it, but they get to write a substantial portion of the settlement off. Cost of doing business.
That seems so unfair. Yeah, cost of doing business. That's classic.
Same with taxes. You pay property taxes on your building in New York City, or you write the taxes off on your federals. Cost of doing business.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Someone shared a thing on Facebook. Find the picture. I'll text it to you. It was a picture of Mar-a-Lago. And then it said, it was something about, a sexual predator lives here. And it was an arrow. And it was like made to look like Google Maps. It was kind of funny and kind of, it was Mar-a-Lago. It was sort of funny and sort of pathetic at the same time. The fact that we have a former president that much of a predator and everybody thought it was okay.
I'm still waiting for some member of the multimillionaire for-profit media. When you go through like a style handbook on how you write stories, like the New York Times style handbook is carved in stone and was brought down from Sinai by Moses, and it's terribly, terribly important to get your first reference and your second reference. And so the first reference would be former President Donald J. Trump. And then the second reference would be Mr. Trump. And I'm waiting for some news organization to amend its style book to say that either the second or third reference is Trump, a sexual predator, comma, dot, dot, dot. Because he is. It's been found by a jury.
And the jury's
finding of fact, the odds of it being overturned by the United States Circuit Court of Appeals is slim, and it will even be a stretch for the Supreme Court to take the case, let alone overturn it. Now, they may. You never know what Harlan Crow will want.
I don't think there's any way that he wins on appeal. I just don't think so.
Right, and so what he can do is declare bankruptcy again. It's not like it's a new thing for him.
No, and that's probably in the realm of what he's going to do, for sure.
And probably the closest thing to real, honest-to-God, no-kidding victory that E. Jean Carroll got was getting to look at Joe Tucapenis, his lawyer, and saying, you know he did it.
Right.
I think even the maggots know he did it. They know who he is. They're just okay with
who
he is.
But what about these people that are proud of him? I mean, that's the crate to me.
Right. Yeah. Tommy Tuberville. That makes me want to vote for him twice. Well, that makes me wonder what the fuck Tommy Tuberville has done to women.
Oh, exactly. And it makes you think, you know, what are these people actually capable of? Like, who are they?
The question you want to ask of a Tommy Tuberville is, okay, that makes you want to vote for him twice. What if he did it to Mrs. Tuberville?
Sure. You know, like, he doesn't have any kids?
These people are fucking gross. You know, and Marco Rubio, yeah, blame it. And see, when they say, yeah, a New York jury, you know what they're saying. That's coded language, too.
Arnold. Yep.
The Jews.
Or liberals, or whatever.
Yeah, yep. the Jews, the liberals, the Puerto Ricans. Yeah, whatever ethnic group isn't white enough to suit them.
Right. Yeah, what a crazy world we live in now.
Yeah, I mean, it's only going to get more so. And then, of course, tonight, I won't have the stomach to watch it, you've got CNN completely embarrassing themselves by giving him, by platforming him with it's going to be Caitlin Collins, apparently. We'll have to see how much she resembles either Iwanka or melanoma. And that's, uh-huh. And I don't mean to be demeaning in that regard. It's just that's how it always works out. You know, Alina Habada, his lawyer from the parking garage, bore a striking resemblance to both, depending on what color her hair was that day.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But I don't expect anything from her. There's not going to be, and even if he is asked a hard question, he'll just bray and bleat and grunt past it.
It was a witch hunt. It was a total hoax.
And the hand-picked audience that's in the room will pick their teeth with their toenail clippings and clap their hands and clap their feet.
Right.
And maybe faint in religious ecstasy. I don't know.
I just love him so much.
Yeah, yeah. I just love him so much. You know, he loves America. New Hampshire, right?
And it makes you wonder, like, what they really think, like how their brains work like that.
Well, it's all confirmation bias. He makes them happy to feel the hate that they feel.
That's messed up.
Yeah, it is. It's disgusting. But here we are. Well, Arnold, it's great to talk to you, my friend. I hope you're doing well.
I'm glad you're going.
Did you decide not to come down this way for the Ramp Festival?
Yeah, that fell through. Yeah, one of these days we'll get down that way.
It's fun.
This is our, and you know this as a country person. This is our good season, so I'm so backed up on things I should be doing. It's hard to run away and have any fun.
Oh, no kidding. Well, I'm chained to the mast here too. Well, Arnold, take care of yourself. It's good to hear from you, brother.
And you too, Robin.
When you talk to Rick, tell him I said hi and tell him give me a call sometime.
Will do.
Haven't talked to him in forever. All right.
I'll let him know. I'm going to see him on Saturday. I'll give him. I'll tell them to call you.
Okay, sounds good. Take care.
All right.
Great hearing from you.
Bye-bye.
Arnold is always a great conversation, without fail. I wanted to mention something, just because I started talking about journalism and whatnot, but people unfazed by the verdict against Nitwit Nero. South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds.
Well, you never like to hear that a former president has been found in a civil court guilty of those types of actions.
What? Will you support him nonetheless?
I'd have a difficult time doing so.
So he'll get mean tweets about him, and he'll be back in the maggot fold before no time. Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana Stan, who actually voted to convict on impeachment the second time through, said,
this creates concern, but it's all up to the voters whether it disqualifies him from the presidency.
Then there's Bill Hagerty of Tennessee, another non-leading light. He was Nitwit Nero's ambassador to Japan.
I think we've seen President Trump under attack since before he became president. This has been going on for years. He's been amazing in his ability to weather these sorts of attacks, and the American people, public, has been amazing in their support through it.
The aforementioned Tommy the Tuber said, this won't be the last. I mean, people are going to come at him from all angles. People are going to try and convict him on the papers in Mar-a-Lago. They can't have him win. Mark Wayne Mullen, whose parents apparently couldn't pick one first name, so they named him Mark Wayne, said,
Trump can't get a fair trial in these liberal states.
Moscow Mitch McConnell and Mike Lee, the constitutional scholar from Utah, they both took a pass on even answering the question. The man of silly putty, the weaker speaker, Kevers McCarthy, he had to go do it. He had to go wash his hair. Jerk Deluxe Vance from the Buckeye State said, I'm highly skeptical as to whether it would damage Trump.
And then John Cornholio of Texas said, people who love him will still support him, and people who don't won't. It's too early to tell what'll happen.
And then trying to get his nose even browner than everybody else's, Tony Gonzalez of Texas said,
he has his due process, and the American people will determine who they want as the leader of this country.
That is not going to cut it, Tony. Not by a long shot. Now, if the Democrats were any good at messaging, well, why do I bother? And it's not so much them not being good at messaging. For instance, this article that I was just sharing from Politico, the first umpty dozen paragraphs are all paragraphs from Republicans who are kissing his ass and trying to at least straddle the middle of the road and not say anything to make him go all mean girl tweet on him. And you have to read the whole article before you get to any Democrat saying, well, you know, the leader of the Republican Party is a sexual predator. You know, because he is. But then there was another article from the Department of Oprah, oh, for pity's sakes. Rich Lowry, and again, it's an opinion piece. Notorious Republican conservative Rich Lowry. The thing was headlined, Why Trump Can't Lose. And it's, I don't know, worshipful. Since late February, he's been on the political upswing no matter what. Good, bad, or ugly, it either helps him in his bid for the Republican presidential nomination or doesn't hurt him. The verdict against Trump in the E. Jean Carroll defamation case can now be probably added to the list. On and on and on. Then he starts talking about Ron Monkey up to Clantis. This is the language that sent me up a tree. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has passed it. Dick, get this description for fascism. Has passed a truly historic raft of conservative reforms. Here in the early years or the middle years of the third decade of the 21st century, here's a conservative describing a full-on fascist onslaught against anyone who isn't white, Christian, and heterosexual and cisgender in the state of Florida as a truly historic raft of conservative reforms. So is conservative just doing all the heavy lifting here now in place of the word fascism? Is that what it is? Conservative reforms. How is book banning conservatism? Once upon a time when I was younger, conservatism was Republicans being all worked up, afraid that the poors would get more money. It was odious enough as it was. Now they're even nastier. Now they've gone full fascist, but there's always going to be people like Rich Lowry to cover and say, these are a raft of historic. When the German Parliament passed the Enabling Act, was that a truly historic conservative reform in Germany? Monkey Up is actually advocating for being able to kidnap children. It worked for Nitwit Nero. They're book banning. That's Betty, the Betty White story. No, we can't have that in a school library in Florida. And then all the other usual suspects, the bluest eye and the lot. So there's a little less than a half an hour left in the program. We are on a desperate quest to raise $420. That's what remains of the amount that was in the hole. And we'll make the difference between this program being on the air tomorrow and we're close, but we're not there. And not being here at all. Darlene, along those same lines, said, for fuck's sake, horn listeners, step in, step up, and help Robin out so this little experiment can keep on keeping on. $50 challenge. So we can knock it down to $320. If somebody's got some combination of $50, Darlene will double it, and we'll be down to $320 and be that much closer to there being a program here tomorrow. And I wish I was making this up. I'm not. I wish it was more a matter of, they're going to come and repo the Gulfstream 5, but Gulfstream 5 and the Maybach are long gone. By long gone, I mean never existed. They were entirely imaginary. This power bill, this brutal coal-fired power bill, is anything but imaginary. And what Arnold said is true. There's oodles of money on the other side. I would just have to hate myself every day of my life, crawling behind the mic and doing what they do. I mean, there's even good money in being a self-hating trans woman. You know? Couldn't do that either. Our buddy John in Central PA sent me a clip from, I guess, TikTok of some young trans woman who was saying, you know, it's okay if you want to call me he and him. Just don't call me Tim. That's one of the things that the farts like to use. You know, the feminism appropriating reactionary transphobes, the farts. Trans-identified male. Look at my blood panel. Not a damn thing male about it. But thank you for saying that, Darlene, and thank you for the challenge. I appreciate it so very much. And Christopher jumped in. Keep on keeping on. I hate to disrupt the 420, but so there's $40 to go on that challenge. Emilio took it down to 35 just now. Thank you, Emilio. Thank you so much. So 35 bucks to get it doubled, to get us down to 320, to get us that much closer to being here tomorrow. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you, Emilio, for getting started on that challenge. Thank you. Back to the stress line and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, baby.
What's up, Tracy? What's going on?
Well, no, I was just listening to the show. We were talking about the, you know, the right wing and the coach that said all those awful things. And, you know, we just can't say the things we used to say because, you know, them damn people with their feelings. You know, I don't know if you talked about
it's all
our
woke
buddy Richard Dreyfuss.
I have not.
You know, that wokeness.
Yeah, that wokeness. Yeah. See, we used to talk about things like that before it got all woke. And yeah.
Got all woke and people, you know, have feelings and, you know, getting their feelings, you know, because people be upset when you, you know, disparage or talk horribly about them. How dare you, you know, have feelings and emotions? Wow. So,
but no,
you know,
Richard Dreyfuss.
Well, her,
yeah, that was gross.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you tell him, sis, because I, ugh.
That was a fun noise.
Yeah.
Richard Dreyfuss is butthurt about diversity standards for the American Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences make him vomit, and he's all in favor of actors being able to appear in blackface. And it all happened on PBS. He was talking to Margaret Hoover on Firing Line. And he talked about civics and whatnot. But what really got his ire was new diversity standards that will be implemented in 2024 at the Academy Awards. You have to fulfill 2 of 4 standards to be considered for Best Picture. Expanding on-screen representation, themes or narrative, expanding representation among creative leadership and department heads, providing industry access and opportunities to underrepresented demographics, and expanding representation in audience development. None of those are a heavy lift.
Horror.
None of those are a heavy lift.
No. Nope. Not at all.
So Richard Dreyfuss said... Richard Dreyfuss said, it's an art. No one should be telling me as an artist that I have to give in to the latest, most current idea of what morality is. What are we risking? Are we really risking hurting people's feelings? You can't legislate that. You have to let life be life. I'm sorry, I don't think there's a minority or majority in the country that has to be catered to like that. And I thought he was a smarter man than that, Tracy.
I have been a Richard Dreyfuss fan for decades. Decades.
This is not a boating accident.
You know, and he's always, you know, he's always played those snide, snarky, but, you know, sticking to the man kind of character.
Yeah,
you know?
Sometimes pissy, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. But...
And that scene in Jaws where Robert Shaw describes his experience aboard the Indianapolis, it's one of the most chilling, in the middle of a chilling movie about a monster shark, that is a chilling fucking scene. But the fact of the matter is, Richard Dreyfuss is Jewish.
And, he's Jewish.
And I wonder if he knows that in the Hollywood of the 1930s, that studio heads in Hollywood bowed and scraped and kowtowed to the Nazi regime.
The Nazis.
To keep from offending them, because the German film market was huge. Germans love movies.
And these studio heads were Jews.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Louis B. Mayer?
Louis B. Mayer,
David O. Selznick. Mitchell Golan,
David O. Selznick. Goldwyn. I can't think of his first name.
Sam.
Oh, yeah, right. Come on. You talk, and you can't tell me he didn't know, again, Jewish. It's not like, and he, I don't know
But those studio heads actively censored their own films for German Nazi sensibilities. I remember a long time ago, our dear friend Beth in Dallas sent me that article, and I just read it in horror. And it would take the outbreak of World War II before Hollywood decided to be even vaguely critical of the Nazis.
Vaguely.
Now, they got right out there and got busy on the Japanese. That was easy.
Oh, God, yeah, because they were Asian. Come on, now. But, Germans didn't white folks. Because, we were at war with Germany, Italy, and Japan. But I don't remember any Germans or any Italians being sent to, concentration camps, but being in the internment camp.
Well, we did have a...
Were we not at war with them, too?
Hold on. You're going to love this. We did have a prisoner of war camp for German prisoners.
If they were in the South, they got to go to the ice cream parlors and shit.
Tracy, the German POW camp in the United States was the Greenbrier Resort in West Virginia, presently owned by Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice. And Baby Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we put them up at a resort.
Mm-hmm.
I have good news.
They welcomed them to the United States.
I have good news on Darlene's challenge. It has been met. Our dear friend Gino. Gino jumped in, and so the challenge is met, and we're down now to 305. To complete a prayer meeting Wednesday, give the deacons a workout miracle. 305.
Yeah, I against this. I wish I could help, but and for the rest of the Horn family, we had to put Timber down yesterday.
I know.
The cancer just blew up, and she was fine all weekend. And then when I left for work Monday morning, she was still asleep. And by the time I came home, and Jan didn't call me and tell me what was happening, but she didn't want to upset me while I was driving. When I came home Monday evening, both of her hind legs were swollen. She was just so out of it that there was just, and Jan took her to the vet yesterday morning. She left with Kimba and just came back with her collar. The vet said that she was in so much pain that they couldn't even lift her on the gurney. Her lungs was full of fluid. Her body was just full of fluid. Her belly, everything. And so we're going to have her cremated. And the vet, I guess at some point you have two choices for cremation. You can have her have your pet cremated with other animals, or the brute cremation, that sounds kind of horrific, or you can have her cremated by herself, which is going to be more money. And we're like, Miss Kimba, she is not going to have, be cremated with a bunch of strangers. You know? And so, we don't, I don't know when the cremation's gonna happen, but Jan says she would, they gave her like 4 shots, and she would peacefully. So, you know, and I'm still not really, I'm still trying to catch up with all the money and stuff. So, long story short, I, you know, other than my $10 a month, I'm, you know, because the whole thing is going to cost us like, you know, for Kimba and the urn and all that, it's going to cost almost $600.
Wow.
And Jan still hasn't got, and Jan still hasn't gotten her unemployment. She's still waiting, you know, and so it's just, it's a lot. But, you know, Kimba was my first pet. I've never had a pet before. And, for the last 7 years, what I would call it, like, Kimba Hutch. So, and it's just weird that she's not at the house anymore. You know, because right after we moved in, we got Kimba. So Kimba's been at that, you know, been at the house 7 years. So it's just really, it's really strange. It's eerily quiet. And Kaylee, you know, our puppy that we got in December, she's been walking around the house still looking for Kimba. And, you know, smelling her bed and just, you know, barking like, where's my big sister? But I never thought that I would be so attached to a dog or any animal, especially a dog, because historically, Black folks, we don't do dogs. That's not our thing. And if we do have a dog, the dog stays outside. They don't, you know, they don't come in the house or anything like that. But Kimba, she was so amazing and smart. You know, Jan grew up, she's had dogs all her life, and she would always, the comment was, I've never had a dog as smart as Kimba. I mean, she was just, and, you know, Christopher met her, so he knows what a wonderful dog she was. And I'm heartbroken, but I know that she is so much better off because she, you know, it wouldn't have been fair to her to keep her alive, because I think once you get to, a dog gets to a certain point, you're just being selfish if you don't let them go, you know? But you know what, though? This is what I will do. I will do a $10 thing in honor of Kimba.
Oh, Tracy, you don't have to do that, honey.
No. I have to, because I got to just think. I just think about all the time I called in on the show. And she was
Kimba's in the archive.
And you would say, hey, Kimba. I know Kimba's in the archive, so I'm going to have to search the archives. So, with that said, I just, you guys, you know, Robin is going through a lot right now, and I know what it's like to, you know, not have the money to pay your light bill. Fortunately, I live in L.A., and they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't make you pay this huge lump sum of money. They would work with you. But unfortunately, you live in fucking West Virginia. I mean, not unfortunately that you live there, but you live in a state in a place that doesn't care. And so, you know, I'm doing this because you guys are about just a part of Kimba's life as I was. And so but whatever you guys have, just please, because if I turn, I'm in mourning. I'm grieving. And if I have to turn in tomorrow and Robin's not there, so I could have some respite, something to take my mind off of my grief, off of my hurt, it's not, I, you know, come on, please, just think about what she does for us. Think about how much she contributes to our lives Monday through Friday.
She does this 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. The shit ain't easy. But she does it. And she does it because she loves us, and mostly because she loves this country. She's a fucking patriot. But she loves this country, and it upsets her about the way this country, the country is going. And so who are we not to keep this going, this wonderful experiment that has been going almost for almost 20 years? You know, just think about what it would be like tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock my time on the West Coast, and 3 o'clock in Central, and 5 o'clock on the East Coast. If we tune in and she's not there. I mean, 4 o'clock, I'm sorry, 4 o'clock Central. 3 o'clock Mountain. And if she's not there tomorrow. Come on. Just think about that. But anyway, aside from Kimber and all that.
I want you to know you're getting notes. Ralph said for Tracy, oh no, huge hugs to Tracy and Jan. And Darlene said, so sorry, Tracy. My eyes are welling up here, shocked to hear the sad news about Kimba. And it,
you know.
Family is family. Family is family. Four-legged or two. At least from where I stand.
And Miss Kimba was a bad bitch. You know. And it's, like I said, it's going to be, it's when I came home,
The bane of mail carriers everywhere.
Everywhere. Oh, my God. And she, you know, just the fact that when I walk to the door now, she won't be there because you never have to ring my doorbell, ever. Because as soon as somebody walked onto the porch, there was Kimba. And we live on a high traffic street. Not so much traffic wise, but we live right around on the same block as there's a medical building on our side of Balboa, and then there's another medical building across the street. And these people are so freaking cheap that they won't pay to park. So there's a lot of foot traffic of people walking up and down the street, you know, instead of paying to park. And so, we couldn't keep our front door open because we have a screen door, but we couldn't keep it open because Kimba would constantly bark, and it was maddening. It made me crazy. So we would keep the door closed, but now we can keep the door open because Kaylee will follow suit. She's such a, you know. But now Kaylee doesn't, you know, she don't have Kimba there to bark, and so she doesn't bark. You know, and so it's just weird. It's weird that she's gone, and I was beyond. I could not function yesterday. I didn't work. I got up and went to work today because we need the money. So, you know, but I will forever. I don't know if we're going to ever get another dog, especially after Jan said no more after Kaylee, you know, depending, because that's it. I couldn't take this again. I couldn't do it again. And so, you know, Kaylee will definitely, I will never say never.
No.
Never say never. But I just, like you said, family is family. And, you know, before there was Kimba, before there was even Jan, there was y'all. And it's, you know, there's the family that you're born with and the family that you choose.
And chosen.
And I choose you guys.
And we choose you. And chosen family.
You know,
friends are the family.
I say you chose the family.
Friends are the family you choose for yourself. And
right.
Tom and Sunny San Rafael just wrote in and said, I'm so sorry to hear about Kimba. $10 coming to the horn in a few minutes in her memory. Thank you, Tom. Thank you so much. And so, I hope we'll be here tomorrow evening. We're down to 285. And I hate it. It feels so transactional to be keeping up like this, but we've had little crises from time to time, and it seems like they've gotten worse recently, and probably that has something to do with the economy. But I'm so grateful, and we here all of us here are grateful. And I'm sorry it's such a stressful pass the hat kind of thing, but you know,
I mean, especially, you know, if y'all know about how much I, you know, just last week between the catalytic converter and the tune-up and then having to get my car painted, that was damn near $6,000. And it's just, you know, all this money is going out, but hardly anything is coming in. And so we're going to be okay. It's just, things haven't been this tight for me in a very long time.
I know. I think everybody's going through that.
I think everybody's going through that. I really, really do. Go ahead, sweetie.
No. And I was just going to say, everybody's going through it, and it's so frustrating. It's part of a lot of what we talk about here, but it's so frustrating because there is an entire segment of our political society that doesn't give a fuck.
It just they don't care.
And at least you're in a place.
There's no humanity.
At least you're in a place where they have little or no power. I mean, there's some here and there, but others of us can't say the same thing. You know, just conservatism.
No.
And I want to figure out a way to. And it's like between now and next winter, I got to figure out a way to heat this house and keep the kids warm. And I mean, that brutal cold weather snap that came along right at Christmas of 2022. It was, and I am not kidding, it was literally below freezing in my bedroom. It was like camping. It was like winter camping. And
see, just the word camping is just no.
Yeah. See. I know that probably. Right.
That's like
white people
camping.
Going,
is like
white
me
people,
and racist.
White people going in camping. White people going in the woods and pretending they ain't got no place to live.
Right. It's like, don't you not have a house?
And of course, I'm a little late to the game sometimes, a little slow on the uptake. I heard somebody use the word glamping the other day, and I was like, what?
Yes. Yes. It's glamorous camping.
Yeah, that's where you have to take 2 weeks to go camping for a week, because it takes half a week to set up to go glamping and a half a week to tear down.
Right.
And then you sit there in the RV
from what I understand, the money that people pay to go glamping, you could probably stay at a really nice hotel with room service.
Well, I could probably buy a double wide for what some people spend on an RV.
Oh God, yes.
That's a nice thing. Double wide comes with a furnace. Ah. No, there's not going to be a new studio double wide GoFundMe campaign or anything. Don't. Thank you, Sean.
No.
Thank you, Sean. No. Sean just wrote in, use this towards the challenge, Robin. I hope this helps keep you on tomorrow. Bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. That takes us to 265. Thank you. And now we're down to 215 from our anonymous friend. So sorry for Kimba, our anonymous friend says. So 215.
Yeah, she was, you know, she she, you know, and she, you know, she would listen to her auntie Robert. You know, when I would put you, you know, when I would be asked.
That's like Steve and Miss Karen in Georgistan. Little Cletus routinely listened alongside them, perk her little head up, and she's still there. Her comrade is no longer around, and I remember when Steve announced that. And, you know, they're our family. And it's like, well, Socrates and Kyle and Mocha and little Lucy Purr. And Lucy Purr is just my familiar at this point. She'll walk up to me, and she's apparently right pawed. And she will always, she takes her little right paw and pets me on my left cheek.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pets are, like I said, I'm the least.
This is astonishing. Our buddy Laborman out in New Mexico has just made it absolutely, he's finished making it possible that we'll be here tomorrow. So the first thing that I'm going to do when I, you know, usually what I do is I sit down and I do the upload. But this evening what I will do is the first thing I do will be to go online and pay the ransom demand from Appalachian Power.
Ransom demand? That is such bullshit. I swear to Jesus. It is a fucking ransom demand.
Get this. Labor man said, have a show on Kimba.
Oh, God. Thank you.
You do know that you are loved, right?
Oh, God, yes. I've known it from the first day I called until, you know, almost 10 years later. Has it been 10 years?
More than?
But more than. Yeah, more than. Because Jan and I have been together since 2012. And
when was your brain surgery?
2012.
Okay. Well, you were.
But I.
You were part of this. Yeah, you were part of the community before that. Yeah.
Right. And like I said, so Jed and I got together in 2012, and I was definitely with the community before that. That part. And you know, like I said, it's been a blessing. Because it's, you know, there's plenty of times where I just, you know, I may disappear and stuff, and you guys don't hear from me. But I know you'll pick it up.
Well, you have gone radio silence a few times, and I fretted about you and said, hey, where the hell are you?
Right, and then you come and then you call and say, bitch, what's up? You know?
Exactly.
You may not call on the show, but you better call. So I know you're okay. Because, you know, you're like, I got your mama's number, blah, 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 you know, whatever happens. You know? But I'm just, like I said, thank you guys. Or, you know, making sure that Robin, that, you know, stays on the air. Sure, hey, and don't stop with what she, you know, because she still got two more days. So, you know, keep it coming. Keep it coming so that she has,
this is just truth be told, this is just the first part of the ransom demand. The other part is the 16th. And
they
want another $600.
Motherfucker, I swear to Jesus.
Clean coal electricity.
I remember the first time.
Wouldn't want none of that sissy wind, you know, energy or nothing.
You know, or that, you know, that solar, that's the sissy, that's a pussy.
No, that's,
you know, because you know
that's solar, that's communism.
That's communism, because the sun is common, you know, Jesus. I never forget, I think, you know, because we're listening to your show, and I think one of the first things I remember you talking about was there's no such thing as clean coal. And I think I was talking about a story that I read, something about Obama said about clean coal, and I was talking about it. And before you could say it, I said, and there's no such thing as clean coal. And I could almost see you beaming.
I was so proud. And you know, that's one. Every time you say Obama and coal, I have this little ugly little flashback where I remember him saying, and because it was part of his. It was part of his campaign shtick when he was traveling the area. He said it in Ohio. He said it in Pennsylvania. He said it in Illinois and Indiana. And I want Ohio to be the Saudi Arabia of coal. And I remember in 2008 going, dude, no. Who told you that was a good idea?
Right? Well, it's only because of how over the past, you know, over a decade of my informal education, because it's like I laugh when I go to the gas station and it says clean diesel. I'm like,
no, it fucking isn't.
No, it's fucking fossil fucking fuel, buddy. You know, you extract the shit from the ground, it ain't clean. That part. But anyway, I know you got to go. It's 5:06, but I just wanted to, you know, get in and, you know, let the family know about, first of all, about Kimba, and to, you know, hopefully get some, you know, people to help pay for, you know, get the money that you need to keep the show going, at least, you know.
Yeah, thank you to Chris. Chris just jumped in, and we are down to 2:05 to just wipe the slate clean up to this point. And there are, thank you, Chris. Thank you so much. We'll be here tomorrow. We will be here tomorrow because of y'all.
Yay!
Because of y'all. Pure and simple. So I am eager to get this paid because I don't want any. What? No, it didn't go through. It did go through. So I'm gonna. That's gonna be my first thing. I love you dearly.
Right. You know.
And I'm so sorry.
I love you more. Yeah, but I'll be okay.
And she will live on in your
memory. On that note, you got, you know, she will be forever a part of my life, forever. And I'm the better for it.
Hear, 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 hear. Tracy, have a good afternoon.
Anyway, you too, baby. I love you much.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
And that's how the program closes. Miraculously. A lot of miracles lately. A lot of miracles. And I can never thank you enough for them. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers and to all of you this evening, a la carte. Thank you so, so much. I came into this program wondering if it was going to be the last time I was on the air for a while and the last time we got a chance to talk. But y'all wouldn't let that happen. And that is beautiful and wonderful and inspiring and humbling. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you show, you so choose. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Roger this evening, this prayer meeting Wednesday. Checking to see if Steve ever made it in. But thank you to all of our mods, Sparky and Steve and Roger. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Hey, like and subscribe, please. Like and subscribe, leave a comment, tell your friends and neighbors. There's something special going on here. There really, really is. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster, especially if you're eligible under the special rules. Tomorrow is the last day it's free. Okay? Or so that's the last I heard. Wear your mask when you're around maggots. They're a grimy lot. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Pocket or purse. Take it with you. Keep your social distance wherever possible. And if somebody comes down the sidewalk saying, you know, I coach football at Auburn University, and I just don't think it'd be right not to let Nazis into the U.S. military. And you know what? If Donald Trump did what he did to that woman twice, I'd vote for him twice. Avoid that most toxic man in the Senate of the United States like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.